Hello, everybody. Welcome to or welcome back to Remix Reality Podcast. My name is Lily Tombe, and I want to thank you for joining us on episode 18 of Remix Reality. It's been a while, and I missed you guys, and I'm so sorry for our hiatuses we've had the past couple of episodes, but I'm excited to be back and connecting with you guys. I feel like I haven't talked to you guys in forever. So, I hope you guys are all doing well, or if you're not doing well, I hope you're in the process of getting there. I think the past couple weeks have been pretty heavy for a lot of people. And so just check in on yourself and make sure you're doing okay. And take time. I think there's no shame in taking time. As somebody who feels like I have to say yes to everything, which we're working on. I've said no a lot this past week. And I was like, wow, look at me, I'm growing. And I was very proud of myself. But there are some things you can just be like, not now, right? And one thing, this is unrelated, but one of my professors was talking a lot about how, like, specifically as women, we feel like we have to over-explain, like, when we need breaks and stuff like that. But she was like, you don't need to over-explain. Like, you just set your boundary and tell us, and you don't need to explain why. Just, you know, say I can't make it and, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think that's a very beautiful sentiment and I've been putting that into practice recently. So I hope that that gives you the motivation and the courage to be like, I just can't do this. And I think it's also really great when you're in spaces in which the people around you support you doing that. Like, I started a new job and like my boss is very much like, if you just can't do it, like, just let me know. We'll adjust your schedule. You can make up your hours. And I'm like, period. He understands. He gets it. But anyways, with today's episode, it's been something that I've been thinking a lot. Because I think this is kind of something that I've been working through or thinking about for the past few weeks. And I know we talk a lot about friendships on this podcast. And I know you guys love it. And so this, I think, can be applied to a lot of things. But it's about the art of being truly seen. And I think, just to unpack it a little bit, I think we know that being seen isn't just about being looked at, but it's about being truly known. And I think there's a difference between being visible and being truly seen. And one is about somebody physically just seeing you and knowing that you're there. And one is about somebody like knowing you and knowing your soul and knowing your heart. And I know that sounds very dramatic, but I know many people have had like friendships and stuff like that. And you're like, I just feel like we're connected on like a deeper spiritual level. Like that's my sister. Like that's somebody who knows your soul so well and knows you so, so well. And so I guess I was kind of at the season in which I felt very alone, regardless of how many people run a room that I knew or that I knew cared about me. Like I still felt so, you know, alone in many aspects. I was talking to my therapist about this. 10 out of 10 recommend therapy. You guys should all do it because it's worth it. It's hard because it requires you in learning a lot of things and it requires you unpacking things that you put in your drawers for a while. But I think in the end, it's going to help you, in the long run. But anyways, I was talking to my therapist about this, about how, like, even with my friendships, and I have great friends, I still felt very alone. And we kind of just discussed and unpacked how there's probably, for many of us, we have this continued fear that our friendships are not going to last, or that our friendships are going to end the same way our last ones ended, or relationships, or whatever you want to fill in the blank with this. And so because of that, we continue to have these surface-level friendships, or we continue to put on facades whenever we're around the people who we care about. And so when you're in a room and you feel alone and you feel like nobody knows these because nobody knows the true you. And that was a really hard pill to swallow because I think I was kind of mad at myself. Because I was like, I have no reason to be mad. I think I have some of the greatest friendships that I've ever had in my life. Why do I still feel so alone? Why do I still feel unseen? And I don't necessarily think that I'm changing who I am when I'm around these different people. And so that was another thing that was really confusing. But it was just understanding that sometimes, like, you just feel so far away from your current self or your old self. And it can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. I think if you're in the process of, like, these are some bad habits that I used to have and I need to break them, and so that's why you don't recognize yourself, or it's truly because you just are no longer doing the things that you enjoy, or you just feel so this, that, and the third, and all these different things. I think there's different reasons why you could feel unseen. Or why you feel like, you know, the old version of you is so, so far away. And so I had to understand, like, is it because I'm changing for the better or is it because I'm changing for the worse? And so that's kind of something I just want us to sit with for a little bit. But yeah. Okay. So I think what was kind of like the turning point in me understanding, I can't even, and I think the part that sucks is I can't remember who said this, which is terrible. But I was talking to somebody. I don't remember who said this, it makes me really sad that I don't remember who said this. But I remember I was talking to somebody, and they had looked at me, and they're like, you know, you don't always have to be strong with me, right? And I think because I was kind of always known as, like, the fixer friend, or, like, the friend that had it all together, even though my life was always in shambles, so I don't know why they thought I had it all together. I definitely did it. That's what I was known as. And so I think if anybody's been in that position where you're, like, the friend that everybody goes to or whatever the case is when they're going through things, you kind of always feel like you can't really truly break down at any point in time, because if you're unstable, then oh my gosh, all the advice and all those different things that I gave all my friends are going to go out the window. Because how dare, you know, I be an imperfect person and all these different things, and just kind of go through these different things. But the person had said, like, you don't have to be strong always with me. And I think in that moment, I broke. But I think it's like having a friend that looks at you and understands that, like, you're putting on a facade, or that there are some things that you're just continuing to sweep under the rug, and you don't have to do that with me. Like, we can work this out and unpack that, I think is something that's very beautiful. And like I said, I don't remember who said that, and that sucks. I'm probably not friends with them anymore, unfortunately. Cause I'm like, I would remember who said that. But if you said that to me, it hit me up, because I don't remember who said that. But yeah, I think, you know, being seen or being, you know, invisible, it varies in many different spaces. And so my question, I guess, for you guys is, where have you struggled to feel visible, and where have you felt the most seen? And I think as a Black woman, or any woman of color, even just being a woman, I think for me, it's not necessarily just about speaking up. It's about whether my voice is actually heard and cared about. And in one of my classes, it is War and Peace and Gender. We talk about how in many of these global peace building spaces, because it's the international relations class, in many of these, you know, spaces, women are often put in these spaces, not with the intention of, oh, we genuinely care what you have to offer, or we care about your peace process, or we care about your perspective, but it's generally to fill, not necessarily a quota, but just to feel like you checked a box. So I guess that is a quota in a way. And how there's a difference between just simply placing people in these places or genuinely hearing what they have to say. And so I think for me, specifically, because I go to a PWI and I have for my entire life, it either feels like I'm hyper visible, or I'm completely invisible. And it's never that I'm just a human being. And what I mean by that is, even more recently, like, I had a teacher or professor be like, oh, I want to hear your perspective, like, as a Black woman. And it was good that I was able to do that, but also at the same time, I don't feel like it's my place as a Black woman to educate everybody. I think it's a huge weight to do that. I think it's great that I was given the opportunity to speak, but it didn't feel like what I was saying was being genuinely heard. It just seemed like, I just feel like this is the right thing to do. I just feel like getting your perspective makes sense because you're here. And I think it's really interesting. I think specifically being, I think my whole life I've been like one of a few people, like Black people specifically, in specific spaces. And so I think we were always either always looked at and always called on for if anything that had to do with diversity or whatever the case is, or we were just completely non-seen. And sometimes you just want to be human. Sometimes you just want to sit there and be human. I think especially for me, as like somebody, I'm very tall, a Black woman, with dark skin. And I think because I was in predominantly white spaces, like, I always felt like I was seen, like, physically. But to genuinely not feel like that connection with somebody, that somebody that sees you, I think is something that was really hard to grapple with for a very long time. I think why I value my friendships in college now so much is because I'm finally in a place in which I feel like I'm being seen, in which I don't have to explain myself truly. And I think that's part of having really good community. One thing that my therapist was talking to me about is, I was talking a little bit about like events that have happened on campus recently, and stuff like that, and how, like, it's very heavy. And she was talking about how it's a good thing that I have people who you don't necessarily have to explain why you're feeling like this to. Like, if you've ever gone through something, like, during 2020 in particular, when everything was happening with Black Lives Matter, like, having somebody who I didn't have to explain what it feels like to see Black people get killed on TV. And I think that community and people who see you, I think, is something that is very, very important. But yeah, I think also, like, I think this also causes a lot of controversy, specifically on, like, TikTok and other social media platforms and stuff like that. But as somebody who considers myself a creative person, I love music, I love writing, I love dance, I love all these different things. I think when it comes to, I feel like people oftentimes, when it comes to Black art, like the aesthetic of it, but they don't care to understand the deeper meaning of it. And so I think it's kind of a cycle in many ways. It's like, if I am not being seen in these spaces, also my art isn't going to be seen, or my contributions aren't going to be seen. But yeah. So here are some instances and places in which I truly felt seen. I think, like, I kind of, just to emphasize what I was saying, like, I think I feel my most self around people who don't expect me to explain my existence, but they just let me be. And I don't know how, if anybody's ever been in a space in which you feel like you have to explain you just simply existing. But it's very exhausting. And I think part of that is being respected and uplifted and feeling valued, and all of that. And I think, unfortunately, this is becoming more and more rare, right? This idea of being truly, truly seen and being in a place in which you don't have to explain yourself. I think one thing that's really interesting for me is, I think, at least recently, I feel like I've become more aware to the fact that, like, a lot of us are just faking it until we make it, right? Like, a lot of us are truly going through it, but we just have to continue to pretend like everything is, you know, sunshine and rainbows. But I think it's made me a more kind person, just understanding that, like, many of us are just faking it. And so to try and break that barrier and just let people be their authentic self, I think is something that is genuinely so beautiful. And I think a space in which I just feel that, I think is weird, because I think BSU, when I was in high school, in particular, like, my senior year, we would just do whatever. And not in, like, a negative way, but I just feel like people genuinely felt like they could be themselves. It was like, as soon as you walked through those doors, you could just be you. You could say what you wanted. You could exist. Because I think people have this fear of, like, being judged. Obviously, we all do. But I think specifically when you're in a space, when you're hyper aware of your identity, whether that's school or your household or stuff like that, you're afraid that one wrong thing that you say is going to, like, turn the world upside down. And so you're very aware, you're very cautious, you're very calculated. And that's in many ways why you don't feel like yourself. It's because you're not. If you're continuing to live your life completely scared of what is happening or what you're going to say, or that you're going to say the wrong things, like, you're missing out on so much of you. And I think that's why I just like people who let you be. And I'm not talking about being problematic, but I'm talking about just saying what you want to say. Saying the things that you want to say, the things that you genuinely feel, the thoughts that you've had in your head. Not all thoughts are, you know, need to be said out loud. But this whole idea that, like, there are people who will let you just be you. Okay? So I think I'm talking about the art of being seen, but I haven't really told you what being seen looks like. I think for me, specifically in classroom settings or whatever, it's when somebody, I'm in a lot of discussion-based classes this quarter, so I'm like, period. But when somebody, like, reflects on, like, not, oh yeah, I agree with what Samantha said, and let me add, but, like, somebody who genuinely, like, takes what you're saying, and you can tell that they were genuinely listening, that they heard what you said, or what if they didn't hear what you said, they're asking for clarification, like, oh, did you mean this when you, like, that's what it feels like being seen in an academic space, right? Or when your teachers, like, I had a teacher my freshman year, winter quarter,
And she would reference back to things that I said like weeks prior. And it was sometimes a jump scare because I would like not be paying attention. And then she would say my name and I'm like, oh, she knew. But it felt like I was seen, not only just seen like on a physical level, but seen on like a deeper level. Like she understood my thinking. I have a teacher this quarter who, when you speak, like she looks at you. She's understanding what you're saying. And I think that sounds like a very simple thing, but simply looking at somebody and making eye contact and connecting with them as they're sharing, I think is another thing that makes you feel genuinely seen. I think in friendships, being seen is when somebody notices when you're quiet and asks why. Or if somebody notices that your, you know, patterns or your words or whatever you're saying is like not typically how you speak. Or, you know, you've been really stressed, you've been going to the gym a lot, you've been doing this, you've been doing that. Like somebody who takes time and knows you well enough to know when you're acting out of character. And not necessarily like, oh, you're changing for the better, or like, because, you know, when people are like, you've changed. No, like when somebody is able to identify like a normal change and a typical change, versus like, oh, like I'm concerned, like something must be going on, or, you know. And I think oftentimes when change is sudden, I think that's typically like, not a red flag, but that's typically when like bells and whistles go off in my head and I'm like, okay, like there might be something going on. But that friend that you don't even have to bring it to them, like they just know and they see you and they don't make it a point to publicly call you out, but they pull you to the side or they text you or they call you and they try and see what is going on. I think another thing is a friend that takes time to understand the things that you love or the things that make you smile, your love languages, you know, your favorite things, your favorite foods, something that you've said a very long time ago. Like that, I think, is about, that is another thing that's being seen. I have a friend who, for my birthday, I think I had mentioned in like early, the beginning of the school year, how I really wanted a new gym bag. And I forgot about it. Like, I knew it was something that I wanted, but I completely forgot about it. And on my birthday, I opened it. And it was a gym bag. I had another friend. I was talking about these perfumes that I really wanted to try. I opened it on my birthday. There was these perfumes. And this is stuff that I said months ago. And as people who stop and listen and understand the things that make you smile and the things that you love, or when somebody hears a song and it reminds them of you and sends it to you, like, those are little things that make you feel truly seen. Or when somebody remembers something about you that, or something that you said that you don't even remember saying or doing, and then they refresh your memory about all these different things, you're like, oh, you were truly listening. Like, you were actually listening to what I had to say. You actually see me. I think one thing for me, particularly with all my friendships, is I try and hope and make a space in which my friends are truly seen. And so when somebody, like, says something or like kind of questions, I don't know if this makes sense, but I had a friend who had like said something. I remember like he had said it again in a different conversation down the line. I was like, oh yeah, like da 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 da, like you told me about this, like. And then I was able to expand and was like, they seem shocked. And I was like, I hope you're not shocked that I like genuinely listen and I care about what you have to say, because if I don't care about what you have to say, I'm not gonna waste your time. I'm sorry. I think that's another thing that I've become very aware and very conscious with as well, is I think it's very clear when people, their intentions and when they're speaking to you and in friendships and stuff like that. And I just don't have time for surface level friendships. And I'm not saying every single person needs to be your best friend, but I think if I'm taking time to talk to you and respond to you and get to know you, but that's not being reciprocated, I don't care. I'm like, you go do what you need to do. But yeah, I think being seen is, I had a friend, my roommate last year, she knew that I liked letters. I liked writing letters. I liked little letters. And she would leave little letters on my desk every once in a while. And they would sometimes just be a couple words, sometimes a little picture and, you know, some motivation or whatever the case. And I think that is something that is genuinely so sweet. And I think if you know me, any letter that I've ever received from probably age like 12 until now, I still have. I keep it in little boxes. If I need motivation, if I need, you know, something, I go back and read them. And having friends and people in your life who know how much like their words and stuff mean to you, I think is something that's very beautiful. I had a friend, unfortunately we're no longer friends, but I had a friend when I was in high school who wrote me like a series of letters with different, you know, we were broke, so we couldn't afford like Christmas presents or birthday presents. And so a series of letters for different things, like when you're angry, when I piss you off, when you're sad, when you're heartbroken. And they're just a bunch of letters that she wrote when we were like 14 years old. I think that was an act of being truly seen. And she knew that I wasn't one to typically speak up when different things were bothering me, if I was going through different things, but having that letter or something to reference and go back to in case I didn't feel, you know, confident enough or didn't feel safe enough to speak up. Like, it was those letters to remind me. And I think that was something that was so, so sweet. And I still have those letters, even though we're not friends. And yeah, I think if you ask me what I want for my birthday, I'm like, write me a really sweet card. Like, that is one thing. Not forget the gifts, but like, you know, gifts are great, whatever. But I think taking time and like expressing how much you care about somebody, that's why I always send birthday texts. Like, I will take time and write and hope you know how loved and appreciated you are, because I think being seen specifically in terms of words, I think, is something that always makes me smile. But yeah, I think another act of being seen is specifically online. I've talked about how when you post on social media and people are commenting about how amazing and beautiful and talented you are, but you genuinely feel the exact same. I think one thing in particular is being seen beyond just your physical image. Like, when that's the only compliment somebody has about you is like, oh, you're cute, like that. And I'm saying this as I'm guilty of like commenting like gorgeous, stunning, but I think I also take time to express that, like, people, you're worth more than just what you physically look like. I think that's something that is interesting, is I think on social media in particular, it's really easy to feel unseen when all people are talking about is what you look like, which sounds really weird, because if you're directly talking about, oh, this is what you look like, you're gonna think, oh, you know, like, they see me. But no, I think you're a lot deeper than just what's physically on the surface. And I think people who genuinely, like, think about your intelligence or what you have to bring to the table, how, you know, like, kind you are, like, how pure your heart is and all those different things, I think those are compliments that show that people genuinely see you and they understand you and they take time to do that. But on the note with social media, I think there's this whole performance versus reality of visibility. I think obviously each and every one of us curate who we want to be online. Social media is a highlight reel. I don't necessarily think that there's anything wrong with it. This is my hot take. I think this whole idea, like, social media is fake. In a way, it's supposed to be. And I'm not saying that it's a good thing. But I think if you do not understand that what you see online is not reality at this point in time, that's probably on you. And I'm not saying that. I think the point is you're trying to look your best, right? You're not posting on LinkedIn about jobs you didn't get. I don't know if this makes sense, but I think social media, I think, is a place that a lot of us go to escape. And I think if we're constantly in that state of escape, that's when it becomes a problem. But I don't think this whole idea that, like, you pick your best pictures to post on Instagram is a problem. But that's a rant for another day. But anyways, we craft these stories online. Not always false, right? But they're often incomplete. And I think it just shows, like, I don't think that everybody who posts on social media is fake. I don't think that everything needs to be picture perfect, but I think it shows that it's not the complete story, you know? Like, there's more to what is going on than just what you see on the surface. I think for me in particular, like, I could be smiling in a photo. Like, I just posted an Instagram photo, like, last week. I could be smiling in a photo. You know how many photos it took me to get that, and then I ended up hating it? You know how I sit there and I hyperanalyze every single thing. It's I'm posed up, but you don't know I was having a terrible day. It's like you go through different things. Like, for example, we had a gala, and I'm like, oh, let me post in this dress, like a cute little dress. I hated it. I put it on, and I was like, I look crazy. And there's many different things behind it. It's not necessarily fake. But I think that's just not the complete story. And I think when we're also, like, posting in the gym, like me with my gym photos, and I think it doesn't show the anxiety behind that. The anxiety or the process of getting over the anxiety of being in the gym. And I think there's a lot that we don't post, right? There's a lot of ourselves that we don't post on social media, like grief, you know, your feelings of self-doubt, identity confusion, all, you know, all these different things. I think there's so many layers to us that we just continue to hide. And I think, I mean, it's one thing to hide it on social media, but also hiding it offline, I think, is something that keeps us in the cycle of continuing to be forgotten. I think some of the most, like, defining moments of my life and things that changed me, there's no pictures to go with it. And I think, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but I think it just goes to show, like, specifically on social media, it makes sense that I feel unseen, because if I'm purposefully only posting the parts of me that seem somewhat perfect, then, and people are only commenting on what they can't see, it's going to continue the cycle. But yeah. I think the people who genuinely see you are the people who see you behind the scenes. People who see what's happening behind closed doors. Your close friends, your family, whether, you know, it's your biological or your chosen family. Mentors and people who you're in, like, clubs and stuff with. But I think visibility isn't just public. I think sometimes it's private. And I think oftentimes when that visibility is private is typically when it's more sustainable. But yeah. So I'm going to talk about the power and pain of visibility. I think being seen can be both really amazing, but it could also be really scary. When I show up as myself, I give others permission to do the same. And so when somebody is genuinely, authentically themselves, it kind of starts like a chain reaction of people just doing that. I have a friend, and she's actually the cover of this podcast episode with me, and she's just genuinely herself. She says what she says without a care. She's funny. She's charismatic. She's just amazing, and I love her dearly. And I think her ability to just be herself and not care has allowed me to realize that I just don't care either in many ways. But I think she also does it in a way that is just so true to her. And I think it's contagious, like her joy. And that's the thing, is like she's so joyful. Obviously, everybody has their moments, but like she's a very joyful person. I think a lot of that is due to the fact that she is just herself, and she lets her true self be visible to the people around her. And so she's able to be seen. And so when she feels seen, I feel seen. And so it kind of creates this snowball effect. And you kind of notice the people who are generally themselves are the people that don't shy away from who they truly are typically the ones that are happiest. And I think just her taking up space, I think, makes me feel empowered to do the same. And it makes me feel empowered to be my true and authentic self. I think part of the reasons why a lot of us are really scared of being visible is it allows room for us to be scrutinized. And I think sometimes when you're genuinely yourself, or when you are allowing that place to be seen. And another reason why I think it could be scary is because maybe it will require change, if that makes sense. Like maybe, you know, you have really bad mindsets, or you have this, that, and the third. And when you genuinely allow yourself to be seen, you understand that you can't stay in those cycles anymore. And so it scares you a little bit, because change can be scary. And I think one thing that is the most empowering thing in particular is having those friends who have seen you in every stage of life. I have a friend, and we've known each other since she's older than me. But I think I was a freshman and she was a sophomore in high school. Or maybe we were younger, I don't know. It feels like I've known her forever. And she's seen me at my best. She's seen me at my worst. She's seen me in between. And she's genuinely seen me through every single process. And being able to go back and reflect on moments in our life that we never thought we were going to make it through. I remember us talking about like how we couldn't wait to go to college, or how we couldn't wait to graduate high school, or how we couldn't wait to do all these different things, and kind of seeing our life unfold. Like understanding that we knew each other when we were 14 and we're now 20 and 21, like living our life and kind of creating the life that we wanted. And I think there's something so beautiful with having somebody who truly knows your soul. I think another thing about that is the people who truly know you and see you on a deeper level, you can go months without talking to them and they will still know you. Like the you that they fell in love with and the you that they genuinely care about. And I think the friends that remind you of your old you, there are friends that see you so deeply that even like hanging out with them reminds you of the person that you are. And I think those are the friendships that are the most sustainable. Those are the friendships that feel like the true blessings. So find some. yeah. I think also having people who look at you and can see your potential, who can see, like, and I know that could sound odd, but somebody who sees, like, I just know that you're capable of so much more than what you're doing now. I think that's another thing. Being seen doesn't just mean continuing to affirm who you currently are, but calling you to higher places as well. I think if you've ever had a friend look at you and be like, this isn't you, I think that part of that is also being seen and understanding, like, the true you, the true version of you, or the version of you I know that you can become, or this is limiting you, and so here's how you could step out of that. I think that is also part of being genuinely seen, somebody who wants more for you and doesn't just affirm the current things that you're doing, okay? I think being seen is something that, in many cases, you have to claim yourself. And so what I want you to think about is, what does it mean to claim space intentionally? I'm thinking, for me in particular, one thing that I'm working through is understanding that shrinking myself doesn't keep me safe. It keeps me limited. It keeps me small. It keeps me in these boxes that I am going to get continuously tired of being in. And I think choosing to stand up for yourself, choosing to speak, choosing to write, choosing to lead, even when you're scared, is something that you should do. Just recently, I was terrified to run for president for this club that I'm a part of, because I was like, I'm probably not going to get it. And if I don't get it, then rejection's going to hurt more than trying and all these different things. And I just did it. I just, you know, ran. And now me and a friend of mine, or somebody that I am hoping to be better friends with, hey, girl, and she's just so funny, and I feel like we get along so well, are now co-presidents together. But if I would have continued to let myself shrink back, if I would have continued to let, you know, the little moments that I've had in that club in which I felt invisible, or if I didn't feel very accepted, or whatever the case is, if I continue to let that define me, then I wouldn't have gotten this opportunity. And I think having friends around me, I had friends that looked at me and was like, you need to do it, just full send. And they knew the situation, and they knew why I was scared and all these different things. They're like, okay, well, it's better to go and try than to, you know, be mad at yourself for not doing it in the end. I think also part of being seen is seeing others. I think it's hard because it kind of has to start somewhere, right? I think there's this continuous cycle that when you feel seen, then you also create that space for other people to feel seen. But it has to start with somebody. Oh, it's cold in here. Why is it cold? Is AC on? I'm like, what's going on? But yes, I think for me, like I said, one thing is like continuing to create this space in which everybody feels seen. But I think part of the reason why I'm able to do that is because I have friends that make sure that I feel seen and that I feel like I'm a part of the equation. I remember when I was in eighth grade, actually it was when I was a freshman in high school, I wrote to my eighth grade counselor, or my middle school counselor, about an incident that had happened when I was on campus, or when I was in eighth grade, or whatever. And I was saying how I felt like my voice was taken away from me, and I want to make sure that you stand up for students because I don't want anybody to feel the way that I did. And I remember I sent that and I emailed that to her, and we talked and we connected, and we just had genuine conversations about this whole idea of like feeling invisible, even in spaces in which there's so many people around you. And we just had this conversation about how like even me just sounding the alarm on that is going to allow for so many students to feel that safety and the ability to be vulnerable and the ability to not shrink themselves out of fear of what the person to the right or to the left of them may feel. And I think it's something that in many ways I think is scary, because I was super scared. I was really scared to even reach out or anything like that, but I felt like it was something that I had to do. And so I would say, be the person who does that for somebody. Like, maybe you aren't scared about sounding the alarm and making sure that people have, you know, a space in which they feel seen. And I think this could go on like a small level, but also on like an advocacy level. I think for me, if I went through a series of time in which I felt very lost and not seen, I've made it a point to myself that I'm going to be loud. And sometimes that gets me in some trouble. But I think because there's been many spaces in which I've just felt so alone, I'm going to continue to make sure that doesn't happen to anybody else. And so people get agitated with me because I'm going to fight for you. But I would much rather fight for that for you than for you to continue to feel small and for you to continue to feel isolated. But yes, I think being seen is like an act of courage. And I think it also reminds us that we matter. And I think even saying that, I think sometimes we just need a reminder that like our thoughts, our presence, our existence truly matters. And I think when the world gets really busy and there's a lot of things happening, it's really hard to remember that your contributions genuinely matter, because you could feel really small. But I promise you, the world is a better place because you're in it. And I think if you're not in spaces in which you're constantly reminded of that, I would say try to create that spaces for other people, but know that it is going to come for you. And I saw something, and it's kind of related to this, but somebody was like, there's no way that God would make your heart so big and not give you somebody else or a group of people to also love you the same way that you love them. And I think that's something that's so true, right? It's like, sometimes because I think a lot of the times when it comes to friendships, and particularly in the episodes that we've talked about it, I think one thing I always say is like, try and be that for somebody else. But I think it's because I feel like when you set that, you know, standard, or when you do that, I feel like that type of love and that type of genuine connection is going to find you. I feel like when you put that out there, it's just destined to find you as well. And so I think also loving people fully and allowing people to be fully seen, I think creates a world that's just more healed. Right. And people, and like I said, it's a chain reaction and it just continues to go. And I think more people are going to be in friendships when they're truly loved and truly seen. And I think that that is something that is extremely important. And so I think we live in a world that tries to blur us. It tries to mute us. It tries to tell us to shrink down. And I think choosing to be seen, as in making yourself known, not shrinking yourself down, and to see others, is something that is necessary. I think it's something that sounds crazy in many cases, but I think it's something that we need to do. And I think I have a couple questions for you guys, and it's just, where do you feel the most seen? Where's a space in which you genuinely just feel like you can be yourself? Whether it's at home, maybe it's at your dorm in college, maybe it's in one of your classes, in a club that you're in, and like, do you have that space? Or who are you with when you feel the most seen? Not just noticed. And I think typically you'll understand and you'll know that when you feel the most seen is typically when you're the happiest, because you don't feel like you're continuing to put up this facade about who you truly are, but you're willing to just, you're able to just leave your baggage and all those different things at the door, or even bring it in with you and be like, hey guys, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm going through. Right? I think take time to understand like who makes you feel like that. I hope we all have at least that one person that makes you feel seen. And if not, I encourage you to just be your genuine, vulnerable self. People who love you the way that you are, but also want to help you be the best version of yourself, I think are the most amazing, beautiful people. And I think just to kind of end off on this podcast episode, I think, remember that you're never too much. You're never too quiet. You're never too invisible. I was talking to a friend and she was telling me how she was in this space and they were like, how she was basically told there's nothing wrong with you, but you just don't fit with us. And I was like trying to find it really hard. I was like, they're continuing to say it's not you, it's not you, it's not you. But then they're also saying the reason why it isn't you is because you don't fit what we're looking for. And so they're like, don't change who you are, but you're just not who we are, or who we need. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And so I would say go in spaces in which you're genuinely wanted. Don't change yourself. I don't think you should have to be invisible, shrink who you are for anybody, for any situation, for any opportunity. And I think you deserve to take up space in the way that you exist. I think anybody who's telling you just be quiet and stand in line is not somebody that you want to be around. I think you should take up space fully, your true, authentic, bold self. I think there's so much beauty. I think the world would be such a better place if we were all able to just genuinely be our true and authentic self. But unfortunately, that isn't always the case. And I would just say it's my encouragement. I think the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because I was at a place in which I felt so unseen and so alone. And I was mad at myself. And I didn't understand why I was mad at myself. And I was like, your life is, well, my life isn't perfect. But I was like, you're fine. Like, you're getting these opportunities and things that you never thought you would have been able to. You're getting to do these different things. But I still felt so unseen. And so that is what I am working through. That is what I am walking through. And yeah, if anybody can relate to this feeling of feeling so unseen, or feeling like you have to shrink a part of yourself in order to fit in, I relate to you and know that you're not alone in that. But I want to encourage you to fight those feelings and be the authentic version of you that you're meant to be. I think I just love people that are just genuinely their self. I think there's something, their joy is so contagious. It's a person I want to be, so I want to continue to be my authentic self. And if people don't like it, they're just not my people. But yes. So I want to thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Remixed Reality Podcast. I'm so glad to be back. We have a couple exciting episodes coming up as we close out season one of the podcast. But I want to say thank you guys. And I hope you are in spaces in which you feel genuinely seen. And I think it's an art, because it's not something that's easily achieved. I think that's why it's the art of being seen. It's something that takes effort. It's something that, you know, it's not always perfect, but something that if you continue to practice, you'll get better at. And so I love you guys so much, and I hope that this podcast is a space in which you can feel seen, whether it's your struggles or the things that you're overcoming or whatever the case is. And so my DMs are always open for suggestions or whatever the case is. And so, yeah, I actually, one of my clubs that I was in, we just had this like advice segment where everybody just wrote things on a sticky note that they were going through that they wanted help with, and we just talked, and we didn't even get through all of them. So I kind of want to do that. So anything that you're struggling with, going through, want my advice on, or whatever the case is, drop it in the Google form in the bio, or just DM me. Love you guys so much, and I will see you guys in episode 19. See, I always say I have to end the episode singing. Bye-bye.